If you've ever asked yourself whether you actually need to take a multivitamin, maybe your diet's healthy enough that you don't need it, or if you've ever wondered what type of multivitamin to buy, this is the episode for you. We're going to be tackling both of those questions and more on this episode of Vitally Balanced. Let's talk about that. Hi, I'm Pierce Whitley, your integrative health practitioner, bringing you weekly inspiration to help you pull up your health issues by the root. As we cultivate balance in our bodies, our soil will become inhospitable to symptoms. Welcome to Vitally Balanced. So, as I stated before, we're going to talk about whether you do or don't need to take a multivitamin and what are the best types of multivitamins to take and some common pitfalls that people can make when choosing a multivitamin. We'll start with the first question, whether you need to take a multivitamin or not. And there are two different camps. The first might say that their diet is healthy enough so that they don't need to take a multivitamin. And the second might say, well, regardless, there are probably still some holes in my diet, even if it is super healthy, that my multivitamin needs to fill. And there is actually some credence to arguments on both sides. Let's take the first argument first. Well, if you're eating a healthy enough diet, ideally, you shouldn't need a multivitamin because people throughout the past thousands of years of the Earth's history did not have multivitamins. They just ate nutrient-dense foods, especially organ meats, and they didn't really have too many problems with holes in their diets. They were mostly just eating whole foods. However, in today's society, it's a little bit different for a couple of reasons. First of all, a lot of people will follow extremist-type diets, such as vegan diets, etc., where they exclude large groups of food, or the ketogenic diet or the carnivore diet. And in these cases, you are likely missing out on at least a couple key nutrients and concentrations that are ideal for your human body. For example, if you're vegan, you're going to be missing out on fully formed vitamin A, zinc, potentially iron, and some other vitamins like vitamin K2. And it's kind of hard to get these types of nutrients on a plant-based diet, or sometimes even just impossible. For example, you cannot get vitamin B12 from plant-based foods. On the other hand, if you're eating a carnivore diet, you're going to be severely lacking in vitamin C likely, which is why a lot of people eating the carnivore diet include fruit, because it doesn't include those anti-nutrients that they accuse plants of containing. And that's a whole topic for another time. But the point is that with, you know, dietary preferences, or things that are imposed on our diets, like having to be gluten-free or dairy-free due to gut issues, a lot of times we might find ourselves deficient in certain nutrients, and in that case, multivitamins would be needed. However, there is some credence to the camp of not wanting to take a multivitamin every single day for the rest of your life. Because in this multivitamin, there are dozens of different nutrients, some of which your body can get rid of excess amounts of pretty easily. For example, if we take in too much vitamin C, we'll just pee it out. But that doesn't mean that while that excess nutrient is in our body, that it's not going to have an effect on us. And it also doesn't mean that there aren't certain nutrients that can build up in harmful concentrations if we take too much of them. Nutrients in our body tend to work like different sides of a scale. So for example, if we take the minerals zinc and copper, they will oppose each other in the body and balance each other out. Now, if you load up on a ton of zinc, then your relative zinc-copper ratio is going to swing out of balance. And there are lots of examples of this within our bodies. For example, vitamin B9, or folate, is crucial for neurotransmitter synthesis, like creating neurotransmitters, as well as disposing of those neurotransmitters. And if we are overloading ourselves on B vitamins, like vitamin B9 or vitamin B12, and other cofactors that are necessary for this cycle, we could be upsetting our neurotransmitter production. For example, if I take too much methylated folate, then I feel angry because that is not the balance that my body needs. I don't need more methylated folate. And because of that, when I take it, my body goes out of balance and I get angry. So for that reason, I take a little bit of an adjusted multivitamin that don't include nutrients that I am sensitive to. And we'll get into that a little bit later in the second part of the podcast. Now, moving on to the other camp with saying that, well, there are always going to be some potholes in your diet, some pitfalls, some things that you're falling short of that you need a multivitamin in order to fill in those holes. And the definition of supplement is not necessarily just to provide everything you need in one pill, but it's a complement or a supplement to an already balanced and good diet. And the word supplement meaning to fill in the gaps or to strengthen or reinforce. And I think that that's a very good definition and something that we should be thinking about a lot more as we're actually taking supplements, is that we're not taking an all-in-one solution to health and longevity. We are taking a complementary solution alongside our diet, not replacing our diet. So that's the way that we really should be looking at multivitamins. So the answer is, should you be taking a multivitamin? Well, first, I would say as a general rule, if you're trying to transition from an unhealthy diet to a more healthy diet, you should probably take a multivitamin, because while you're transitioning, you're probably not going to go from zero to hero in one day. And so you are going to have some pitfalls in your diet, even if you are really trying to eat more healthy. And the second might be, if you're eating an extremist type of diet, you should probably be taking some form of multivitamin. Now, whether that's a fully fleshed out functional medicine multivitamin like I take that we'll talk about a little bit later, or whether it's an organ meat supplement plus, you know, some really high vitamin C foods or even food-based supplements, anything like that would work, because, you know, organ meats are basically multivitamins in and of themselves. And I think desiccated liver supplements and things like that are very useful for people who don't necessarily want to take synthetic multivitamins. Now on to the second topic that I wanted to address, is what multivitamin is right for me. And as I mentioned before, I take a different kind of multivitamin. I don't know. Oh, we're backwards. I think if you're watching this on YouTube, you're going to see this backwards. So we're just going to talk about it. But I take a special type of multivitamin that excludes some methylated nutrients. And we'll talk about that a little bit as well. So that, because those are nutrients that I'm sensitive to and don't need more of. But we're just going to go down the label, basically. And if you have your multivitamin with you, you can do this assessment with me. And we're not going to talk about every single nutrient on the label. That would take a while. And for some of them, it's not very necessary. But it is important to talk about a couple different nutrients and what forms they use of those nutrients in your supplement. So we'll start off with vitamin A, the beginning of the alphabet. So a lot of multivitamins will include, and even mine does, it includes carotenoids like beta carotene as part of the vitamin A. And what carotenoids are, or the beta carotene that you will see, and beta carotene is like a type of carotenoid. But what carotenoids are, is they are precursors to vitamin A. Or in other words, they are plant-based compounds that your body can convert to vitamin A, but they are not vitamin A in and of themselves. And there is a gene called BCMO1 that your body has to use to convert that beta carotene or those other carotenoids into vitamin A, which is more of the retinal palmitate or retinol forms of vitamin A. And sometimes in a lot of people, their BCMO1 gene is very slow. And so you're not able to convert a lot of those carotenoids over to vitamin A. Now, carotenoids are useful in and of themselves, but vitamin A is used for other things that carotenoids simply can't do. And so it's important that at least some of the vitamin A in your multivitamin should be from retinal palmitate or retinol, or those actual active forms of vitamin A, rather than simply precursors to vitamin A. The next thing to look for in your multivitamin is vitamin D, because some multivitamins will include a dose of vitamin D that barely does anything for you and will lull you into a false sense of security that you're getting all the vitamin D you need. Whereas other multivitamins might include too much vitamin D, and that doesn't happen as often. But what I like to do is I like to look at however much vitamin D is in my multivitamin. For example, there are 1,000 IUs of vitamin D here, or 25 micrograms if your vitamins measure it that way. For a normal adult, the general rule of thumb is that we should be getting around 35 IUs per pound of body weight. And if you're using the sensible metric system, you'll have to do those conversions. But generally, the rule of thumb that I use is 35 IU per pound of body weight. And so since my multivitamin has 1,000 IUs in it, I'm going to take some separate liquid vitamin D, three more drops of this to add up to a total of 4,000 IU. Which is what I personally take. And I will have links to all the supplements that I mention in this video in the description, or more accurately, I will have a link to my Full Script dispensary where you can purchase all of these supplements and more for 15% off forever. And it costs you nothing to sign up. So you can go check out the Full Script dispensary that I have down in the description. And if you have not heard of a supplement dispensary before, it's essentially just a way for health practitioners to give you a direct link to reputable supplement companies. And because you're getting such a direct link, not only are you getting the most trustworthy and effective brands, but you also get a discount code that we can give because we're going more direct. So for sure, check out the description. And if you don't have an account already, sign up and take advantage of the 15% off. And yes, so you might need a little bit more vitamin D than is in your multivitamin. And that could be a whole nother podcast in and of itself. If I mention anything here and you want it to be in a separate podcast, you want to hear more about it, leave me a comment in the description or send me a DM on Instagram. Those are good ways to reach out to me. All right, the next vitamin we're going to be talking about are the B vitamins in general. And we're going to focus in first on vitamin B2 and vitamin B6, because those are two vitamins in which you can have an inactive form of the vitamin or an active form of the vitamin. And the inactive forms of vitamin B2 and vitamin B6 aren't terrible for you, but if you want to give your body the most active nutrients that you can, the nutrients that are really going to work as well as possible in your body, you're going to want to look for riboflavin. That's in the form of riboflavin 5-phosphate, which is the active form of vitamin B2. And for vitamin B6, instead of the inactive pyridoxine hydrochloride, you'd want to look for pyridoxal 5-phosphate. So it's that additional phosphate added on at the end that signifies that it's an active form of either the vitamin B2, riboflavin, or the vitamin B6 for your pyridoxine. Now, this is an important one. And if you've kind of, you know, gotten lost because I haven't explained something super well, make sure you pay attention to this because it's incredibly important. If you don't take anything else away from this video, you should take this one point away. When you look at the type of folic acid or folate or vitamin B9 that your multivitamin is using, you can either have an inactive form that is not found in nature and that your body doesn't really know what to do with, or you can have an active form that your body can actually put to good use and that won't clog up your folate receptors, essentially. So the synthetic form, or I should say the form that isn't found in nature, is folic acid. Folic acid is the most common type of folate supplementation. And unfortunately, it's kind of become synonymous with vitamin B9 in general. Vitamin B9 is folic acid, but that's not true. Vitamin B9 is folate, and there's a crucial difference. Folic acid has to be taken up by our body's folate receptors and then put through a gene called dihydrofolate reductase in order to be transformed into a usable form of folate. And if our body isn't able to metabolize all that folic acid in time, it becomes what is known as unmetabolized folic acid floating around in our bodies. And these can clog folate receptors and generally cause problems at places where folate is supposed to be used because it's foreign to our bodies and we can't directly use it. It has to be transformed into other forms of folate first. So make sure in your multivitamin or supplements you're taking that the folic acid is in the form of either 5-MTHF, which stands for 5-methyl tetrahydrofolate, or in the form of folinic acid. The IN makes a big difference, folinic acid versus folic acid. And I personally use folinic acid, or in this case, it's calcium folinate, as the form of vitamin B9 that I use because, again, I get irritated with methylated folate products, and that's because it's messing up my neurotransmitter pathways, and I recognize that, and so I've shifted the type of multivitamin that I'm taking. Going along those same lines, the form of vitamin B12 that you take is also important, not as important as the folate, but it's also very important. The most common type of B12 that people will take is cyanocobalamin, which is the cobalamin bound with cyanide. And you might be like, whoa, there is cyanide in my vitamin B12. And yes, there probably is. It's not enough to actually do much damage to your body or very far away from killing you, of course. But your body does have to use a lot of resources to cleave off the cyanide from the cobalamin in order to make the vitamin B12 usable. And that is not good because you have to take a larger dose of cyanocobalamin in order to have it be effective in your body. And also, your body does again have to draw those resources away and actually cleave off the cyanide and detoxify it in order for your body to use it. So instead of making your body do all of that work, it's much easier to give your body already active forms of vitamin B12 that are naturally found in foods that we eat. And the forms of cobalamin that you'll want to be looking for, first are hydroxocobalamin. Hydroxocobalamin is kind of a in-between step between the different types of cobalamin, so your body can use it wherever it's needed. And the other forms are methylcobalamin and adenosylcobalamin. You don't need to remember these forms, but just you can reference this video, you can write them down, or you can just look at your multivitamin and say, well, this form is going to work for me, and this form is cyanocobalamin. But what you need to know about these forms is that adenosylcobalamin is very useful for your mitochondria. It's the mitochondrial form of cobalamin, and so you're going to support your energy production by taking that. And then probably the most common form of cobalamin that a lot of functional medicine practitioners will recommend is methylcobalamin, because methylcobalamin is, again, involved in that same neurotransmitter production cycle. It's also involved in disposing of those neurotransmitters. And something that a lot of people don't really know about is that folate and vitamin B12 are involved in creatine synthesis, like that supplement that you take to get big muscles. It's the fast energy source that your muscles use for short-term high-intensity movements or workouts. And so it's important to have good forms and amounts of those vitamins in order to support your creatine synthesis as well. So moving on from the vitamins, there's one note that I want to make about minerals, and I don't want to get super into in-depth and complicated with all the different forms of minerals that you could be taking, because there are a lot of different compounds that minerals can be bound to. When you're taking minerals in a supplement, it's not just going to be like zinc. You're not just going to take that mineral straight up. It's going to be bound to something. For example, it might be bound to some oxygen. In that case, we'd call it magnesium oxide. In some cases, it might be bound to glycine, an amino acid. In that case, we'd call it magnesium glycinate. And there are other forms like zinc picolinate, or did I say magnesium glycinate? It'd be called zinc glycinate if zinc was bound to glycine, but that's besides the point. And so what you want to watch out for is when you're wanting to absorb minerals into your body, like this isn't counting like trying to take magnesium supplements as a laxative. That's a whole different ballgame. But when you're trying to absorb minerals into your body from supplements, you do not want to be taking oxide or carbonate forms of minerals in general. And that's because your body barely absorbs any magnesium oxide or magnesium carbonate or other minerals bound to oxide or carbonate either. And for example, in the case of magnesium, if you take magnesium oxide, your body might absorb, you know, a couple percentages of it. I forget the exact percentages, but I'm pretty sure it's like 1% of it that your body is actually going to absorb, maybe up to 10%. And the rest of it is going to stay in your colon, and it's going to draw water into your colon, and that's going to loosen your stool. And that's why a lot of people know magnesium as a laxative, because the form that they're taking is not getting absorbed. It's actually just staying in your colon, and it's drawing water in and loosening your stool, which is good if you want to if you're trying to get rid of constipation. But if you're trying to absorb it, make sure to be taking a different form of the mineral. For example, some good forms of minerals are glycinate forms or malate forms, or essentially any form that you see bound to an amino acid. So if you see like magnesium malate, you can look up, you know, malic acid, and that's a part of your energy production cycle. Or you can look up glycine if you see that it's bounced in magnesium glycinate, and you'll see that that's an amino acid. And so generally, any forms that aren't oxide or carbonate will be well absorbed in your body. And so some of the forms that are in my multivitamin that I take are zinc bisglycinate chelate, Seleno XL high selenium yeast. So for a lot of selenium, they will actually culture yeast because yeast will produce a lot of selenium, and then they will include that in the multivitamin as a source of selenium. For manganese bisglycinate chelate, chromium nicotinate glycinate chelate. That's a little bit more complicated one. It's just chromium bound with nicotinic acid or niacin. That's vitamin B3. And then it's also chelated with glycinate. So it's a little bit more complex of a structure. And molybdenum glycinate chelate. Molybdenum is a mineral that you might not find in your multivitamin, but it's helpful for, I'm not going to get into it, but dealing with sulfur-based compounds in your body. I hope that this was not overwhelming to you. I just shotgunned through a bunch of things really quickly. So to simplify it down, just go back through what we've gone through. If you are trying to change through your diet, or you're on a very extremist diet, maybe extremist is the wrong word, but if you're on a diet that excludes large food groups, then you might want to be taking a multivitamin while being aware that you might want to choose a multivitamin that isn't super high in, you know, every nutrient, or one that might be adapted to your specific needs. And for the nutrients in general, you want to be looking for actual active vitamin A, that's retinol or retinol. You want to be looking for active forms, 5-phosphate forms of vitamin B2 and vitamin B6. So that would be riboflavin 5-phosphate and pyridoxal 5-phosphate. But those aren't necessarily deal breakers. The things that are deal breakers is if you see folic acid in a supplement instead of methylfolate or 5-MTHF or folinic acid or things like that. And for vitamin B12, you want to look for any other form besides cyanocobalamin, because your body has to detoxify the cyanide. For minerals, you want to make sure that you're not taking oxide or carbonate forms of those minerals, because they're not going to be well absorbed into your body. I hope this video was helpful. If you have any questions, or if I explained something unclearly, because I'm sure I did, please drop a comment below and help me to know how I can explain things better. And also let me know what you're curious about so that I can get you the information that you need. I am dedicated to helping you obtain health information that is not sensationalized, that puts things in their proper proportions. You can't have everything perfect with your health all the time, but you need to focus on the things that are important. For example, in this video, I referenced that folic acid in your supplements is a major one to look out for, and that's a big important thing. Now, if you're taking a supplement and it's got everything correct, but you realize it doesn't have an activated form of vitamin B6, that's honestly life. And you can obsess about it, or you can move past it and focus on more important things in your health. So I hope this was a good general guide. Just make sure to keep everything in perspective, apply things in your life in practical ways that you can do and that you can maintain. And once you've got those things down, then continue on. And I hope that you all have an amazing day. Share this podcast with those you think might need it, or who are confused about multivitamins themselves. And I will see you all next Thursday.